Ephesians 3:20. The title of this series of teaching is According to the Power That Works in You. In Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So we see God and we understand nothing's impossible for God. We know that he has done everything. He created the universe. There isn't anything impossible. God can do anything. So what we're now looking at, though, is if that's the case, then how come there can be a limitation? So it has to be that if there is a limitation on the power of God, the great I am, the one who can be anything to you that you need. He can be the best businessman. He could be the best architect. He can be the best salesman. He can be the best anything. There is nothing that God cannot be. That's what it means when he says, I am that I am. I'm the great I am. I am to you whatever you need me to be to you. I'm healer. I'm deliverer. There isn't anything he cannot set you free from. There isn't anything he cannot do. There isn't any need that he cannot provide. There isn't any amount of debt that he can't remove out of your life. But we see something here. It's according to. According to. Now, according to is important to understand that we walk according to the Spirit. According to the power that works in us. That phrase, according to, means to the measure of. It means to the degree of. If there's a way to say this, it would be that according to is the measurement of how much he can do, how much more he can do than we can think or ask. So that becomes the limiting factor, doesn't it? We're the ones that limit God. We're the ones that limit what he can do. Now, the first thing I want you to understand so that the power that is in you works is God wants to. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. He wants the children well. The happiest place on earth is the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen.
And that's part of what God's plan is. Not the toughest place to be. Not a grind. Not toiling. Not sweating it out. Not wondering whether God has done this or not, whether God took care of this or not, whether God heard you or not. That is not the happiest place. The happiest place is, I don't wonder. I know.
Amen.
I know that he has heard. I know that he has answered. I know he took care of the care that I cast on him. And I don't need to think about it another second. Why? Because he's taking care of it. I'm not saying the care is not a care, but he's taking care of it, so I don't have to. And another nice thing to know is he's much more equipped to do it, to handle it, than us. Amen? According to the power that works in you. Now, we say that the power of God is within us. Amen? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. It's a lot of power. Quickens our mortal body. Don't you think it's time for our mortal bodies to be quickened then? Since the power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. So it's about time, isn't it?
Yeah.
That treasure that's in this earthen vessel needs to get out. Amen? We're in a better place than most, Word of Life Family Fellowship. You know why? We know the Holy Spirit's in us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're there, and we could start building on that. There are many that they can't be hearing this because they still haven't figured out that God is within them by the Holy Spirit, that the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is in you.
Amen.
It's in us. Righteousness is in you. Peace is in you. Joy is in you.
Amen.
Now let's let it escape. Amen? So for some, they need to come to that revelation that God is not out there in the sense of I'm trying to get him to come, trying to get him to show up, trying to get him to come into our midst. Bible says you are the body of Christ and God dwells in you. I'm telling you, Hebrews chapter 2, 22nd verse, Jesus sitting right there while we're praising. He's praising with us. Amen? So if I'm in a position to where I'm thinking that I've got to get God to do something from heaven or from out here or he needs to show up or whatever the case might be along those lines, now I've got a problem. And here's my problem. He's not going to be able to do more than we can think or ask. Why? Because we don't know the powers within us. We think it's out there. We have to get the power of God to show up. We're trying to get him to talk from heaven to us. When, where is he? In here. Where's the voice of God? Within you. Where's the voice of God? Within you. I've got good news for you. Your prayer doesn't have to rise higher than the top of your head. Amen? He hears. The reason we're seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places is so that we can know what's happening in heaven so we can release it on earth. You never look up at the devil. You look down because we're above, seated at the right hand. People in their heart, they think the devil is above them. Jesus is there till when? Till all the enemies are his footstool. In order for them to be his footstool, we're the body of Christ. When the enemy is under our feet, God goes, that's cool. Amen? According to the power that works within us. Key. Now, turn over to Mark chapter 4. Now, I want to go instead of to Mark chapter 4, which is the same passage of Scripture, go to Luke instead. And you can mark Matthew chapter 4. It's the same incident. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted or tested for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. Now, let me stop here for a second and make a note. The Word of God tells us in Philippians, in Hebrews, that Jesus emptied himself of all his deity, all of his godly privilege, all of his divine godly power, and became as a man like us. That means that Jesus operated in his earthly ministry, in addition to that, his 33 and a half years on earth, in the same way we operate. That means that Jesus didn't do anything that it wasn't according to the Word of God, according to the principles of the Word. Jesus did not automatically know everything. Where'd he get it from? He got it from the Word of God. Amen? Because if Jesus automatically knew everything, we would too. That means there's a reason why Jesus prayed. And his prayer life was off the charts. There's a reason why Jesus functioned the way that he did and operated the way that he did. Now, agreeing with that, that Jesus, okay, was a man and operated in the power of the Holy Spirit, who we have, amen, then there ought not to be anything that Jesus did in his 33 and a half years that we're not able to do as well. Amen? How many of you know that the power within Jesus constantly operated, constantly was flowing, constantly was working, to the point where Jesus says, the Father in me that doeth the work. Amen? Now, understanding that basic principle, that Jesus emptied himself, we can never say those words you hear so often, but that was Jesus. You know, those, Jesus raised the dead, but that was Jesus. Jesus healed the sick, but that was Jesus. Jesus had an off the charts prayer life, but that was Jesus. Well, what they're really saying is, we can't do that. Because that was Jesus. On the contrary, the opposite is the truth. Because he did, we can. And Jesus said it this way, the works I do, you'll do also, and greater works than these. You believe him? I mean, believe him. Well, that's what he said. Do you believe it? Yes, you believe it, if you're willing to say it. The works that Jesus did, I do also. And greater works I do also. Now you believe it. You know what's happening? Little power is going to work. Now Jesus goes into the wilderness. The devil says to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Now, I've heard a lot of people talking about Jesus going into the wilderness. I've heard a lot of different teaching on it. But I've never heard anybody really nail it for what it was. It's very simple. He went to the River Jordan. He received the Word of God. He heard the Word. What was the Word? You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, and the Holy Spirit came down upon him, and he was anointed. Anointed for what? For what God had called him to do. Now, what does the parable of the sower say? It said, these are those that hear the word. Everybody familiar? You let me know if we have to go look at it. We have to go look at it. We'll turn there. Okay. But in each version of it, that would be Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, it states, these are those that hear the word. Now, I noticed something immediately. Jesus isn't ever talking about anybody who does not hear the word bearing fruit or exercising power or seeing the kingdom of God come to pass in their life. You notice that? So there's a prerequisite, isn't there? Anybody who doesn't hear the word is not eligible. Why aren't they eligible? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Sometimes you'll hear people tell you all different ways that faith comes. Let's not complicate matters. Let's keep it the way the word of God says it. Faith comes one way, by hearing. It doesn't come by praying for it. Now you can pray and then hear. And faith comes by hearing. But it always begins with the Logos word of God. That's this written word, Logos. The whole scripture. And then the Holy Spirit takes portions that he knows you need and he makes it alive. We've all had it happen. That's what brings the faith. And God will always give you what you need when you need it, if you're hearing. Now, if you'd make a decision, I'm not going to hear. What does that mean? I'm going to do something else. I'm going to listen to something else. I'm going to hear something else. And there are ways that we hear the word, isn't there? We hear ourselves speak the word. We hear the word ministered and preached, taught. We hear the word if it's just simply on a CD and you're hearing that word. Now, don't make any mistake about this. Reading the word is good. And I have people tell me, I read the word all the time. I read the word all the time. And that's good. But that doesn't bring faith. Because you're not hearing it. Proverbs chapter 4 says, keep the word in your eyes, reading it, and in your ears. And speak it. Yes, good to read it. That's a beginning point, isn't it? Keep the word in your eyes. But that is not what's going to ultimately bring the faith. Amen? So, if, like in my family, when I grew up, my Catholic home, every Catholic home that's worth anything has a big Bible. The biggie. In some cases, it's right on the mantle. I mean, it's in a prominent place. They want you to see the big Bible. But it's like this. Because it hadn't been open like in 22 years. Now, I want you to know, you can get a Bible that would be 50 pounds, and it isn't going to do you one bit of good. Isn't going to change that family, isn't going to change that life. My upbringing is proof positive that it won't. But you see, I understand something about Catholics. I'm going to get the record straight here. Many, many, many Catholics have a zeal for God. Lots of Catholics. But they're ignorant and lack knowledge. They're just like the nation of Israel was. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. And they go about to establish their own righteousness because they're ignorant of the righteousness of God. But they have a zeal, and that's good. You don't have to convince them that there's a God. They're convinced. And great is this. You don't have to convince them there's three persons in one God. Growing up that way, we know, younger than him, you know that. Younger than Lucas. How old are you, Lucas?
Eight.
Yes, way younger than eight. You know there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Most religions don't, you can't get past that. Jewish, no, one. They will fight you that Jesus was there, yeah, but he was just a man. Islam, one God. They make a place for Jesus because historically he existed. But it does come back to what? Who do you say that he is? They're not saying the truth. Therefore, it's impossible, okay, for the power to work within. In that case, then what? Every single one who's in that category is self-effort, trying hard as they can, and trying to establish their relationship with God based on what they do. How many of you know that does not work? They're trying to deal with God without Jesus. Therefore, now understand this, God must deal with them based on law of works. Because they've chosen it. You see that? They've chosen it. They've chosen to say, God, I want to deal with you based on my good works, all the good things I've done, how righteous I am. Judge me on that basis. That's what the great white throne of judgment is all about. We don't go there. We go judgment seat of Christ. The great white throne is where all those who had not accepted Jesus, who rejected Jesus, and said to God, base me on my works, deal with me on my works, go. And he does. See the difference? Very important to understand the difference. And way, way, way too many Christians get over into this other area and they insist on having God deal with them based on the law of works or the old covenant. If you do all, blessed. If you do not do how much? Now there's no way that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can eat, ask, or think if the person insists on being in the law of works. Therefore, the power that is within cannot work. Paul said it this way, Galatians 5:4, You who are trying to be justified by the works of the law, you have fallen from grace. Christ is of no effect in your life. I'll give you all a little assignment to help people. Get them out from under that. Get them out from under that. Give them the real word. Why? Faith comes by what? Hearing the word. Not the letter. So Paul said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? We cannot receive anything from God if we have not heard. Paul went to Ephesus. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? We have not even heard there be a Holy Spirit. Let's repent from something. And here's what we need to repent from, which means change your mind. Let's stop trying to change people into what we think they ought to be doing, how they're to be acting, what we think a Christian is, and let's just speak the word to them. You think that might be better? Why? Faith comes by hearing. The life of a person is changed by the hearing of faith, not what you got to do. Not the sin you have to get rid of. Not because I read the word 10 hours a day. Not because I pray 4 hours a day. Not because I witnessed to 9 people this week. Not because of any of that, and that's all good stuff. And there's where the trap is. It's good. We have no problem understanding what sin is. That's bad. No argument there. I haven't had anybody argue with me about those sorts of things. But they'll argue with me about what they think is a good thing. And it's still a work of the law. Understand something. It doesn't say sin. It says the work of the law. The attempt to try to do it and then turn around and say, look how much I've done. The work of the law can only result in works of the flesh. The strength of sin is the law. Let's get them free. What does this have to do with getting the power that works within me? The very first thing you must do is hear the word, hearing of faith, before there's any there for the power to work within you. Any what? Faith for it to work. Amen? The moment you're around anybody who starts to knock faith or teaching on faith or anything along that line that even gets close to it, excuse yourself and move on. Because you know instantly where that person's at. Instantly. Because the enemy of faith is the law. Because the law is not of faith. Amen. Now, Jesus is in the wilderness. He gets the word. And what's happening? The parable of the sower is Jesus is walking through it now. He heard the word. The devil comes what? To steal it. So what's the first thing the enemy does? Question whether he knows. If you are the Son of God. Now, don't allow the enemy to put that on you. You say, well, how does he do that? If you're a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. Here's a big one. If you were righteous, how could you do that? Don't go about doing things to prove in your life what God has already told you and made you. Ever. You don't prove you have faith. That's presumption. You're not going around proving you're righteous to anybody. But yet it goes on all the time. It's a devil trick, the first one. And what does that do when that happens? That steals the word from you. That word is taken out of you. What word? The word that says, you're righteous now, before you do anything. Because God's made us righteous with His righteousness. Too many running around trying to prove to people they have faith. Beep, wrong, don't do it. Why? Because everything we do comes from faith. Amen? In the area of giving, for example, all right? God has blessed me. Has He blessed you?
Yes.
You may not see it, and you may not feel it. And your mind might even say, right? But because I know He's blessed me, then I give. You don't give to prove you're blessed. You don't give to get blessed. I am blessed.
I am.
Abraham was blessed. The enemy was defeated. And he gave. Amen? If you are, anytime you hear the if you are, then enemy. Now, what's so important about understanding that? You must answer it. You must answer it. How do you answer it? The word of God in faith. We understand, Pastor John, I don't know too much about the word. Now we know where to start, don't we? The Holy Spirit, every single time, if you'll believe the word of God, He will give you what to say. Who's the power of God? Where is He? In us.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit. What do you think is happening when you're facing up against a if you're and word comes? What does He want you to do with it? Speak it. What's happening? According to the what? Power that works within me. Can you see it? You understand? That's why whenever the enemy comes around, it's an opportunity. He's not very bright. If he were bright, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. He thought he was winning. And he was losing everything. Amen? Can you see that? Parable of the sower. Enemy tries to come. Now, is he going to show up? Yes. Why is he going to show up? Because that's what it says. Well, I don't know where I've sinned for this to happen. You didn't. Matter of fact, you did a good thing. You heard the word. Now, Jesus answers. Did Jesus know who he was? Yeah, he knew who he was. I'm king of all these kingdoms. Huh? He come to get him back. Right? Devil says, well, we can avoid this messy. You just bow down and worship me and I'll just give it all to you. I'll give you what you know you are. Huh? Don't think he won't come to you. Try to do the same thing. None of this changes. This is what he does. And as a matter of fact, he's not allowed to do more. Only this. Only what is common to man. That's why when the angels left their domain in the Old Testament and they mated, God locked them up then. Satan's like, I want to get locked up right now. You see? So it ain't going to be any different. Bribery. Whew. Loves that bribery. I'll give you all the money you'll ever want. Just give me your soul. Do we know what the Word of God says? How little we sell out for. Yuck. You think it would take something. I had a person call me 5-6 years ago. Would you take $1 million right now? $1 million right now? Stop doing what you're doing? That's not even close. I have to tell you honestly, it wasn't even a temptation. I said, do you understand I'm worth all the money in the world? That means you don't have enough. Didn't God say? Didn't the Word say? What does it profit the man if he wins, has the whole world, loses his soul? Is not all of you worth all the money in the world individually? Amen. Get that revelation in your heart. It'll change the way you look at people. Amen. If you believe it. But you know what? You have to believe first that you're worth all the money in the world. Well, I believe it. I believe it, but you know, that's everybody else, not me. Whoops. Really? You're going to treat everybody else like you treat yourself? Everybody say with me, I'm worth all the money in the world. There is nothing that Satan can bribe me with. Ever. In the name of Jesus. Then it goes on. He answers again. Now, here's interesting. Verse 7. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, before he said it is written, what did he say? Get behind me, Satan. Now it's time. What was he doing? Taking authority. You know what he was doing? The power was working within him. Huh? Brought him to Jerusalem. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And then he quotes Scripture. Watch out. Watch out. Just because you heard some Scripture doesn't mean that's from the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, he loves to quote Scripture. Out of context, differently, twisting it, here or there. Because if you throw yourself down, he'll give charge over you. And Jesus deals with that. You shall not test the Lord your God. It is not our place to prove the word of God is true. But what is our place? Speak the word, and God proves it's true. Now, power is beginning to work within you. When you understand that I'm speaking this word, and all of the power and authority of heaven is backing it up. Jesus didn't raise Lazarus from the tomb in his own strength. It was power that overcame death. Healing is power overcoming the sickness and disease. The power of God. The power. Jesus said this. He said, if I cast out the devil by the Holy Spirit, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Amen? If I cast out the devil by the finger of God, the other version of it, the finger of God, then Holy Spirit has come upon you and the kingdom of God. This is about the power in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God ruling and reigning over everything. And we're in the kingdom. And that's about us ruling and reigning over everything. You understand? Everything. Everything. Every relationship. Every member relationship in your family. Everywhere. Everything. Over the finances. Over health. Over everything. Everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
This is what it's about. This is not about trying to convince God to do something he don't want to do. This was his idea to begin with. And he's saying, how many of you want to get on the train? It's a good ride. According to the power. Now, look at what happens here. When the devil had ended every temptation or trial, he departed from him until the opportune time. Now, this is, what did he say? This ain't good. This is not a good thing. I want you to see into the spirit a minute. Every time that word is spoken at the enemy, every time the word of God goes forth, every time, that is a sword, and that is wounding him. That is cutting him up. Now, our logic, our philosophy, our disputing over the word of God and all these other things that man tends to get involved in does not do him any damage. You cannot be reasonable with the enemy. No parlaying with the enemy. Jesus did not converse with him. No negotiation. What happens to many, many Christians when they finally get to a place where they're realizing there's an enemy there and so forth and so on? Instead of the power that worketh within them working, they parlay with the enemy. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. He is a liar. Instead of bring it on. Understand something. He's going to come to try to get the word. And when he's coming to try to get the word, he wants to minimize the power that works in us. He knows that verse. Why? Because the release of the power comes through hearing the word, faith being born, operating in that faith, speaking that faith. Now, look at the next verse. Huge. Verse 14, Luke 4. Then Jesus returned in what? In the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. And then he preaches the first sermon that he preaches when he goes into the synagogue, and he starts talking, and he preaches out of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed. Does it say anything in there about preaching against sin? I don't see anywhere in there. So when the Word of God says repent, and it does, and it's been, there was a message that John the Baptizer brought, it was a message that Jesus brought, it was a message that the disciples brought, it was in the book of Acts, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the power of God is at hand for you. Repent from what? One thing. Unbelief. Repent from unbelief. Repent from unbelief. The only sin that sends anybody to hell is unbelief. Because they have rejected me. John 16th chapter. The Holy Spirit comes what? To convict the world of unbelief in that they have not believed on me. And there's a process that the Holy Spirit continues to do in our life, which is, let's get all the unbelief out. Okay? It's not 100 things to work on. It's one. So, when you come up to the place, and this is where you're talking about in the power of the Spirit, and you're face to face with the enemy in the form of somebody coming at you, how do you handle it? And this is the place where the body of Christ needs to start stepping up. They're afraid to speak the word in their face. Well, what if what I say doesn't happen? Well, now we know where you're at, don't we? Come over here and sit with us a while, and we're going to bring you back here to hear something. Not to get under condemnation and guilt. Just recognize where the situation is. And I've done that. I've known that, man, I got a ton of unbelief here in this thing. I go back to the Word of God, and I start to hear that, what I need to hear. I need to go over that. I've sat there and read the Scripture to myself. Why? I'm hearing. Yes. Listen, I want for all of us and every single person that ever is connected to Word of Life Family Fellowship to experience and live beyond what we can think or ask. I see, and I'm declaring we will have a testimony night where we'll have people, and that testimony will not only be more than they can think or ask, but more than anybody listening can think or ask. I would have never thought about that. Isn't that what the Word is saying? Now, step by step, let's get the power working to where what we can think or ask gets done. Yeah. Amen? Okay? So let's just start from where we need to start. And when I can sit down and say, okay, I've just listed 40 things. that I could think or ask. Done. Hallelujah. Now we're ready to move on. Amen? Let's not jump in the deep end of the pool too quick. Because the truth of the Word of God says, as you believe, let it be done to you. Mary, a beautiful verse of Scripture describe what faith's about. As what you've said, I believe, let it be done according to what you have said to me. Lord, let it be done to me according to what you said. How many of you know you have to hear it to say, let it be done to me according to what you've said? It takes longer to get there in the spirit than it does in the flesh. After all, you know God wants us to have the building. It's his will. And 9% interest ain't so bad. No, it's hell. It's what that is. It's the opposite. It's taking your harvest return in advance. You have no seed to sow anymore. The world system, devil. The whole ploy behind that is to keep the body of Christ from having money to sow. You get that? Money to sow. That's the whole deal. All by this. Jesus, why don't you just go ahead and bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms. Why don't you just bow down, church, and succumb to my system of paying high interest and everything else, and I'll give you the building. He's a liar. And then you'll be able to do everything that God's called you to do. Are they? Not hardly. They're not. They're worrying. They're toiling. They're sweating. They're trying to figure out how to. Then they're beating on the people. But that is not us. God is able to do abundantly more than we can think or ask according to the power that's within us. So what's most important? The most important thing is not trying to figure out a way in our own mind. The most important thing is having the power within us working. Amen. How many of you agree this morning with what I just told you this morning? Well, how many of us can enter into agreement? Let's do this thing together.
Amen.
Let's get this power working within us together. Let all of our words bring grace to the hearer. Let all of the words we speak necessary for edification and building up. I'm going to ask you one more thing. And how about you start with that in your home? You know, when you're just sitting around talking. You know that. Because if you do that, okay, and you have that happen in your own home, it's going to spread like wildfire. Isn't it? What is it that we're to do? Hear the word. Therefore, the word must be spoken. I don't know how we're going to get these bills paid. So your husband or wife or whoever says, I don't know either. We just got to figure something out. How about this? We don't know how we're going to get these bills paid. God meets all our need according His riches in glory. That's how. Shut up, bills. You're paid in Jesus' name. And no more conversation.
Amen.
I can tell you this on the authority of the Word of God. If you take that way, it will be better. If you go the other way, it'll still be just as bad. Amen. Power that works in us. I want all of it working.
Amen.
I want all of it working.
Amen. Not my own.
Yes. No. No. The power.
The power of God.
Amen. The power. Paul understood this. And here's what he said. I'm going to finish with this last thing. Think about this a second. I put no confidence in the flesh. But in the resurrection power working in me.
Amen.
Who's in us? The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? Is that not the resurrection power of God? Is He not in us? Amen. Put no confidence in the flesh. No faith in the flesh. What does that mean? What I've done, my skill, my own invention, my own mind. You don't, Pastor, would you pray with me that I come up with an invention and God make me rich? No. I've had those. 99% of these that I tell you, they actually happen. These are not ifs. So I'm talking, you see, they don't understand. They're trusting in their flesh, confidence in their flesh. And they're, because I've done this, then God will do this. They're trying to what? Make the plan. We're forsaking our own plan.
Yes.
Amen.